So my question was, did your grandparents have the same, give you the same feeling about education that your parents did?
Yes, they did. My grandfather and my father were the greatest mathematicians, I thought, in the world. And I don't care what my math was that I didn't understand, either my grandfather or my father could sit me down and show me how to do it. And we laugh today because my grandfather would always say, well, you know, alt times alt, you know, and people said, what do they mean when they say alt times alt, you know, and it was always zero is what it meant. But and my grandfather actually taught himself to read by reading the Bible. And he's probably read the Bible many, 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 many times, because he could take that Bible and quote scripture and tell you where to find it, verse and line. And if you had questions, you know, he was always the one that everybody in the family would go to. People would say, well, let's ask Uncle Rufus. He can tell us what it says. And they were all, I mean, that's just the way it was. They expected us to do it. Two of my father's sisters actually went to college. And one went to business school and one went to a four-year college. So, yes, education was very important.
Did you have an encyclopedia at home?
Yes.
And a dictionary?
Mm-hmm.
Books around?
Mm-hmm.
Did your neighbors have the same thing in their home? Encyclopedia?
Many of them did. Remember I told you I lived across the street from the principal?
Oh, yeah. There.
I had two or three teachers down the street.
Uh-huh.
So I have had a cousin who was a Rhodes Scholar who grew up two doors from me.
Who was that?
His name was Ernest Mason. We called him Douglas. His name was Ernest Douglas Mason. He died.
Three or four people who sat down.
I may have been a different Mason. He died about 3 years ago. He was a professor at North Carolina Central. But you were talking about people from Chapel Hill growing up and what they became. And, you know, he actually, you know, did it. He had his PhD, but he had a rare disease. So he had it as a child. He was born with it. And that's why he died before he turned 50. He died. Yeah.
So. What was school like when you went to Northside?
Went to Northside.
It was always called Northside.
It was always called Northside, and it was from the first through the sixth grade. School was fun. I enjoyed Northside. I learned to play the clarinet. Mr. Edgerton, Clark Edgerton, was my band instructor. And my parents bought me a clarinet. And
what grade did you play the clarinet?
Fourth.
Is that the usual year that you got taught instruments?
Mm-hmm.
And did Mr. Edgerton teach you the clarinet? Mm-hmm. Did he do all the teaching of the instruments, or most?
Most, because he was a high school band director. And so when I was in fourth grade, I got my own clarinet and I learned to play the clarinet. I was in the choir. We had a choir. We had French in fourth grade. They started teaching us French. I can't speak a word right now. But, I mean, so school was fun. And then when we went to 7th, 8th, and 9th grade at Lincoln High. That was fun. I had excellent teachers. And the teachers, I guess, you know, I don't know whether we were grouped by certain things when we were in school, but the classes and the teachers that I always had were always good classes, always very supportive. I enjoyed my teachers. They always gave me a sense of responsibility and had high expectations for me. They did not just let me do what I wanted to do. They had goals for us, and we had to meet those goals. We didn't have a choice. And the teachers lived in my neighborhood. So it was always good. And then, like I said, when I went on to Lincoln, that was an excellent experience. I enjoyed the plays and the operettas and those things that we always did. At the elementary level and at Lincoln, we always had what we call May Day, and that was fun. I enjoyed the parades, and by learning the instrument, the clarinet, when I was in elementary school, so when I went on to Lincoln, of course, I was in the marching band, and I just thought that was the greatest thing since the apple pie. People often ask me if I've ever been a cheerleader. It never interests me to be a cheerleader, no. And you were talking about how the sense of family and people loving each other. My father never had a son to play sports. His son, my brother, never played sports. But there is not one of my mother's nephews or my father's first cousins or any family member that my parents didn't go to every single football game, home or away. They supported those guys just like they had a son out there playing. And my mother had two nephews who lived out in the country, out on 54. So rather than go home when they had a game on Friday night, they would always come to my house for dinner. And not only did they eat at my house, anybody else on the football team that wanted to eat at my house ate at my house. So it was just always this sense of family.
Was this support for the young people who were involved in sports, was this a common kind of thing, or was your family just a little more attentive to that?
It was the only life I knew.
So you don't really know.
I really don't know. I just thought that's what everybody did.
Mm-hmm. The stands crowded?
The stands were always crowded. And, the people of Chapel Hill really supported the sports program. We played at what they call now Lions Park for a long time. And then finally, we were able to play other places. But it was very supportive. And when you'd have a parade, the people would line the streets to see the parades, the floats. We had a 57 Chevrolet. Our 57 Chevrolet was in the parade when it was red and white. And to make those little tissue paper flowers to put on there and the floats and all of that.
You had mentioned about the PTA, and just to change the subject. From football to PTA, and you mentioned your mother supported the PTA, and I wonder if you would talk about the PTA meetings, what they were like, if you ever went, if your father went as well as your mother, and so forth.
Yes, the PTA meetings were business meetings, and they discuss things that they would do for the school. They discussed budget items, but the parents were very involved. I can remember at Northside, that's where I really remember the PTA. The auditorium there would be full. Parents were actively involved. And today people talk about, and you see it, that African-American parents aren't involved in the PTAs. But I think today, sometimes parents feel rather intimidated because it looks like there's a certain little group of parents who are running everything and in charge of everything, And the African American parents who don't feel like they're in that same social economic class don't want to be a part of that group. They don't feel comfortable in that group, and they don't feel welcome. And it may or may not be anything that the other parents are doing to them. It's just a sense of feeling that they have.
When you would have an issue come up for a vote at the PTA meetings from Northside,
mm-hmm.
would this be something decided by a committee and presented to the group, or would it be decided by the group from the get-go? Would it be a vote of people in the audience, or would it be a committee decision and then the group approves the committee decision?
From the best of my, of what I can remember, it would be a group decision. It would be brought, Mr. Peace was the principal, and if there were issues that were brought forward, then the total body would vote. And they said, well, let's put this in a motion. The motion would be voted on, and dependent upon whether or not, you know, it passed, would be the decision of the total group. It wasn't this little group coming presenting something and expecting everybody else to go along with it. Everybody that was there was totally involved. And I think that might be why you had good participation, because it didn't seem like one little group of people running everything.
Is that what you perceived in the integrated schools, a group running everything?
Yes.
Do they have a group vote, or do they have committee decisions?
There's a lot of committees. You know, the committees meet, the committees discuss, and it's almost like many times that when it's brought to the total group, the decision has already been made. One will present it, the other one will second it, and by then the vote is done.
Do you think that at the time of integration, the socioeconomic status and the educational background of the people who were involved in the PTA had an effect on the African Americans who went to attend these meetings? Or maybe you already said that. Were they intimidated?
I don't know if they were as much. Well, there could have been some intimidation, and there could have been just not feeling comfortable, that they didn't feel that they measured up to the whites that were in charge. Because many African Americans probably at that point still had those stereotype thoughts that I'm not where these people are. I can't compete with these people. So there was some stereotype thinking probably going on, as well as some intimidation. And for many years, I know myself, you can be in meetings for many years after integration. I could make a statement, Mary could make a statement, my statement would be ignored. Mary could come back and say the exact same thing that I just finished saying. Oh, that's a wonderful idea. And you're sitting there going, well, what is it about what I just said you didn't understand? That's the same thing I just finished saying. Right. You know, and so that went on for many years. And many years of that, people get to the point of, well, why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. And so they start pulling away. And then over the years, more and more people just started pulling away. Because you're not made to feel that your ideas are valuable.
Let's go back to Northside. Unless there's more that you want to say, share about the PTA or the other things.
That
you can remember about the PTA.
Some of the PTA meetings also had like operettas or plays or singing or things that the kids were involved in. Parents participated and were involved because their children were involved. And so they got the children there to do what they wanted them to do. It's very interesting that today we spend a lot of time in schools talking about not making kids feel uncomfortable. Well, so-and-so might not be able to afford to buy so-and-so and so. I found that whatever children are participating in, most parents are able to find whatever it is those children need to make them look good in that performance. Because sometimes at schools you have trouble, you know, you want kids to wear a certain outfit, you know, maybe dark pants and a white shirt. And people, well, so-and-so might not be, but you tend to assume stuff about families before you really know what they can do. And most families, if they can't do it, they'll let you know. So you don't need to make a whole judgment about everybody not being able to afford something before you do it. And when we performed, we were all in uniform. We all had certain outfits. And, I mean, we did dynamite performances. I mean, they were very colorful and excellent.
No, I hear that theme over and over again. The performance was very, whether it be sports, operetta, band. Is this something that is a real observation on my part?
It's real. I mean, we enjoy doing things. You know, we don't just enjoy going and sitting and looking at each other. You know, well, you know, you need a purpose for going. And you can have your PTA meeting, but have a purpose other than going to talk and sit and discuss the budget. You know, and a few people getting up there talking about nothing. And that's how you're able to get parents out.
Now, at the PTA meetings today, do they have performances by the students?
Rarely.
But would you say it was common from PTA meetings at Northside and Lincoln?
It was very common.
Over half the time.
Either the band, the choir, or at the elementary levels, the classes. I mean, it was a part of the curriculum when we were at Northside that every class had to do something, some kind of performance during that school year. So you just had to decide which Friday or which PTA meeting you were going to do it at. But every class was expected to
do
something.
Did you have an assembly every week?
Every week.
And was there
performance? Almost every week.
Was there performance at assembly?
Mm-hmm.
Always students, or was it a mixed bag, sometimes outsiders?
Most of the time it was students.
So every week some class had to do something for the whole school year?
For the whole school. The whole entire school year.
What did you do?
I don't know. I was in plays. I would sing. And today I like doing that kind of stuff. I mean, I do it at church. And if there's a play, you know, I'm willing to participate and be a part of that. I just kind of like performing. I don't know why. It's what I like.
Let's go to Lincoln, and since after all this is what we're focusing on, and tell me your memories. You were there for 3 years, 7th, 8th, and 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that are positive about Lincoln that stand out, and what are the negative things? I don't think I've asked that question to anyone. Do you remember any negative things about Lincoln? But I'd like to hear the positive.
The positive things were that I felt that everyone there, all of the teachers, cared about the students. I thought that they wanted to make sure that the students were successful, that they expected the students to do their best at all times. I always thought we had excellent teachers. And they were encouraging teachers. And you could go to them and talk to them if you had problems. And they would be willing to assist you with personal problems as well as with academic problems. They would take the time to re-explain things to you and to work with you. Ms. Pope was a home economics teacher when I was there. I hated sewing, and I still don't like to sew, but she kept encouraging me and motivating me to finish this dress that I had to finish in order to pass the course. And she also encouraged the girls to become debutantes. And several of us went to Raleigh and participated in the Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority's debutante ball. And so...
Is that sure? Or what is Alpha Kappa Alpha?
It's a social... It's a fraternity, a sorority.
From what school?
It was an alumni chapter. So it wasn't from any particular school. It's just like the... And they were known really as AKAs, is what they're called. And so it was an alumni chapter. So it was from a mixed group of schools. So it wasn't just from Shaw. Just like it is today. I mean, today they still have debutante balls and give scholarships and that kind of thing. But because we didn't have a group in Chapel Hill, she took us to Raleigh so that we could get the same experience. I mean, we had all long, flowing white dresses and everything, just like a real debutante ball. So, I mean, I had those experiences. I told you my life was a little sheltered from other people. My interview is probably different.
A little bit. There are also other people who had very similar experiences to you. Not the first time I've heard about the debutante ball.
Okay.
I just didn't know about Alpha Kappa Alpha.
That's who it was. It's called, the short name is AKAs.
You had also mentioned that they gave financial support to AKAs.
They did. They gave a scholarship.
To black students to go to college.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a black sorority. And when I got ready to go to college, I received a scholarship from them to go. I think it was about $500 at that time.
Was it just for women or for women?
Just for women. It's a female sorority. The brother sorority to that is called the Kappas.
And did they do the same sort of thing with financial support, scholarships?
I don't know if they did it then, but they do now. Because both of my sons have participated in their battalion, and both of my sons received sizable scholarships from them when they got ready to go to college.
So the teachers, you say, were supportive, and even the subjects that you couldn't do well, they still supported you, like making your dress.
I hated sewing.
You mentioned also that you could take personal problems to your teachers. So in a way, you're saying they were counselors.
Yeah, they were. Some of them were. Especially Ms. Pope, and who was a home economics teacher. I know several people who, when they had problems, would go to her and talk. And, you know, she would help them in whatever way she could. And they felt comfortable going to her to talk.
Were there other teachers who were sort of earmarked as people, good people to talk to?
Miss King was one
Betty
of the,
King.
Betty King. She was one of those people that you could go to with your problems and talk. So, and that's sort of what we did.
What about male teachers?
Herman Burchett. Mr. Huntley. I think of his first name. You could talk to them. Because Lincoln had, let's see, several male teachers while I was there.
How was discipline accomplished at Lincoln?
Well, since I never got into trouble, I really don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, basically, they went to Mr. McDougall, but I really can't recall what happened after that. The thing that I thought that, you know, if I could come up with something that today that I think is negative, and I probably thought so at that time too, that when girls became pregnant, that the boys and the girls were both put out of school at that during that time. I had a few classmates who didn't graduate when we graduated because of that. They did graduate, but they lost a year of school because they were fathers.
Sort of hear no evil, see no evil.
Yeah, and I thought that was not good.
Did you have a demerit system?
If we did, I don't remember it. I was never caught up in the bad scenes. I mean, I just didn't experience those things.
Did you ever see smoking in the yard, in the school yard, or drinking?
I never saw drinking, I know. I'm trying to remember. So there were so many woods, and I do remember kids going to the woods, and they may have been smoking when they went, but I never saw any drinking.
And you didn't see smoking in the schoolyard even surreptitiously, but maybe the woods, some people might have
gone to the woods. You know, I know I'd see guys go out in the woods and come back, and I sort of suspected that that's what they were doing, but I didn't know that that's what they were doing.
Did many of the girls get pregnant?
Not a lot. When I think back out of my class, maybe about four.
Four out of
50. Well, maybe not 50. The whole class was 50. Maybe four out of 35 or something. I don't know. But I never thought it was a large number. Not even then.
What about dress code, chewing gum, wearing hats, things like this at the school? Were there rules about things like that?
Those weren't issues then. Your parents governed your dress code. Men knew you didn't wear hats inside the building.
Do they wear them today?
Yeah, depending on the school. I mean, those were just things that we knew we didn't do. And at that time, you know, we weren't into halter tops and baggy pants and those kinds of things, so those things weren't really issues. Like when I went to college, I remember you couldn't wear pants. Girls couldn't wear pants. And so you knew what you were supposed to wear, so you wore it. And you never made an issue out of it. The biggest issue that probably they had when we were coming to school was kids slipping off, going to the store. There was a store back up Mill Road on the corner.
Kelly's?
That doesn't sound familiar.
No.
Callis.
Callis?
Yeah, I think it was Callis.
C-A-L-L-I-E.
Uh-huh, I think it was Callis. The kids would slip off to go to the store. And that was more of an issue than anything else. Many of us walked to school right down Merritt Mill Road. We just walked. So, like, my street, we would all walk together and come back together. So I didn't do a lot of slipping off and, you know, getting into mischief.
Sounds like you were a goody-goody.
Right.
Goody-two-shoes.
I probably would be thought of as that. Because I have heard other people tell stories, and I don't even know what they're talking about. I never experienced that. I can't even relate to it because I never did it. And I said, y'all really did all that? Girl, yeah, where were you? You know, you were from the city, so you didn't know what was going on. And I didn't.
So there were a lot of different experiences.
Yeah.
Did Mr. McDougal have an influence on the school?
Oh, yeah, he had a big influence. The people that I was associated with had lots of respect for Mr. McDougal. We knew that he was our principal. We were to do whatever he